Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sunday Night Football, joins us on the Spiegel and Parkin Show. Good morning, Mike.
How are you guys?
We're doing very well. Was that you on the Pro Football Talk Twitter account about the timing of the Bears presser up against the Gruden presser?
Yes, it was.
Mike! Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed the bigness and the bluster of Coach Gruden, this guy and that guy, but, you know, I mean, really.
Let's have a real conversation.
Let's do it.
One of the key skills of any head coach, especially at the NFL level, is to be able to command a locker room. And there is, I think, some degree of transfer between what we see at a press conference and what we see when the guy walks into the locker room. When he walks into the locker room and he says, okay, guys, listen up, do they immediately listen up? Does he have to say it two or three times? Does he have to have an assistant coach whistle really loudly? Or does the moment the guy walk in, everyone stops and turns? I mean, what kind of presence do you have? Gruden has a presence honed by 9 years of broadcasting. That's the difference between Gruden and all these other coaches. There's never been a coach, maybe Dick Vermeil, that was gone for as long and in broadcasting for as long and perfected the craft the way Gruden has. Gruden is a master communicator. And the contrast from Nagy to Gruden between 1 o'clock Central and 2 o'clock Central, it was striking to me, and I'm an objective observer of all of this, but I look at those two guys and I say Gruden far more likely to truly command a room and truly get through to these men. And now they may get sick of him quickly, right? Maybe there's a genius to being kind of understated and not in your face, but I'll tell you what, I was ready to run through a wall, or at least run into a wall after hearing Gruden yesterday.
The tweet, for anyone who didn't see it, regardless of who the Bears hired, they probably shouldn't have started the introductory press conference an hour before Gruden's. Like, there was nothing. The Bears could have introduced, they could have rolled him in on like the Iron Throne from Game of Thrones. And there's nothing that Matt Nagy's press conference could have done that would have overshadowed John Gruden, because Matt Nagy, nobody knows who he is.
Right. So
and John Gruden,
yesterday.
Everybody knows who he is.
Do it today. Don't do it the same day the Raiders are doing it.
But how? I mean,
they knew
John Gruden's not on the front
page. Gruden's was going to be Tuesday. They knew that Gruden's was going to be Tuesday. Wait till Wednesday.
But why? Like, why should the Raiders impact the Bears at all? Like, national perception? The Nagy press conference is not going to get national headlines regardless of when they do
Isn't part of this game. Look, I understand that it's played between the white lines and it's how many points you score versus how many points you allow, but it's an entertainment industry. And you want, ideally, to be, number one, dominant in your market, and number two, relevant nationally. And I think that it just makes sense to avoid a situation that would demonstrate national irrelevance. And that's where the Bears are right now.
Uh-huh.
You don't need to remind everyone of it by putting Matt Nagy up against John Gruden an hour apart. So this isn't necessarily about trying to beat the Raiders. This is about, I think, trying to avoid making it even more clear how far the Bears have to go to get back to the days of Ditka. And that, I'm seriously, I mean, don't you want a coach who has a presence? Don't you want a coach who...
We need a good coach.
Locally.
He's a fine presence locally.
We'll see how... And I'm not trying to prejudge here.
Mike, this is not a franchise that needs a big, blustery hire that is impressive nationally. John Fox was vaguely impressive nationally. John Fox was known. And that didn't make any damn sense, but they needed just to get back to any kind of sense of respectability. I mean,
why did they hire him so quickly?
Who? A Nagy?
Yeah, I mean,
because they're aggressive.
Don't you take more time figuring out what new car you're going to buy than the amount of time that both Nagy and the Bears put into this courtship?
Didn't want him to get back to the Colts or anybody else later in the week, potentially.
Yeah.
It's
Ryan Pace's MO, rightly or wrongly, right? Like, he traded up for Trubisky when he maybe could have got him at three. He was bidding against himself for Mike Glennon. He was the only guy who put in a claim for Roberto Aguayo. Like, he saw what he wanted and he went out and get it. Like, some of those have worked, some of those haven't, but it's just how Ryan Pace operates.
Go get your guy.
From Nagy's perspective, I mean, I think he should have waited a day or two. I know when you go through a professional disappointment, a serious and severe professional disappointment, you end up questioning everything about how you viewed the world, right? You have a period where you have to get over it. And I wouldn't make, when I practice law, and on those rare occasions, although they weren't as rare as I would suggest, where you lose a case at trial, you go back and you take a hard look at everything. Like, did I properly assess this case? Where did I miss this? Do I know what I'm doing? Should I go do something else for a living? And I think in that day after having a 21-3 lead at home evaporate against the Titans, I don't know that's the best day to be making life decisions. There's something about the overall circumstances that bother me.
Wow.
And maybe it works out for the Bears. Look, more power to the Bears if it does. But look at recent history. Look at the Ted Phillips-Ryan Pace decision on Fox. Look at the Mark Trestman disaster.
Mike, it's working against you right now. I'll do respect. That is the kind of lazy cynicism that I've been fighting against a long time in this market. And that's what it sounds like. Because that's lazy. Because it's about Bears history. Yes, and we know that. And that can be precedent. But it's also like misidentifying what actually matters, which is the right guy for the job.
But how do we know it's the right guy for the job?
How does he know it's
the right job for him?
He chose that it's the right guy for the job. How does he know? He interviewed two places and fell in love with this one.
It's the right guy for a job where the GM got an extension the day the last coach got fired, which still makes no sense to me, and where Ted Phillips, even though all indications are he doesn't meddle, I've heard he does meddle. So it limits you as to who you can get. I mean, there are better coaches out there than Matt Nagy.
Who?
There are coaches who have actually coached.
Who?
I don't know. If you want Jim Harbaugh, make a run for Jim Harbaugh. Spend the money. You've got the money. Spend the money. The one thing that we learned from the John Gruden situation.
Well, can we be a little more realistic? No, let's be a little more realistic, because Jim Harbaugh is not really an option.
Well, you like Pat Shermer?
You like Josh McDaniels?
Well, but see, McDaniels isn't going to come because he knows that power structure is something that he doesn't want to step into. And I when it comes down to money, you look at what the Raiders did with Gruden and what Mark Davis said yesterday was very striking to me. He said there's no salary cap for coaches. You know,
that was my favorite part of the Gruden press conferences. I agree with that completely.
All the time in the 90s, there's no salary cap for coaches, and teams would spend on coaches and they'd overspend on assistants. And at some point in the last 15 years, at some point after the Buccaneers gave up two ones, two twos, and $8 million in cash just for the right to hire John Gruden, at some point after that, something happened. And look, I'm going to call it what I think it is. It's collusion among the teams. They have tried to de-emphasize the importance of coaches. They don't pay coaches what they're worth relative to the cap, relative to other players. You give me $25 million to spend, I'm spending it on Bill Belichick before I spend a penny of it on Derek Carr. So I think that now you look at it this way, and how many other teams are following the formula that we've seen for the last 15 years, where when it's time to get a coach, I mean, look, I don't know what Nagy's getting. I haven't seen the reports. If it's more than $4 million a year, it's too much. Whereas you could put a pile of money on the table for Jim Harbaugh and bring him back to the Bears, something between $10 and $20 million a year, and he'll do it. And the Bears can afford it, but teams don't want to do that because they don't want to give that much power to their head coaches.
That you've created a nice little straw man, though, there, Mike, right? Like, Derek Carr's not available. Right?
But the point is relative value. My point is, if you give me, as a football operation,
maybe they did. You don't know if they reached out to Harbaugh. Maybe they did. Jim Harbaugh's a freaking king in Ann Arbor.
And I know,
but for $20 million a year, he'd be the sausage king of Chicago.
That's probably true. And I would love it if the McCaskies were more aggressive in that. And I agree that you should spend top dollar for a coach who is available.
Hey, look at what they paid Mike Glennon last year. Would you not pay twice that for Jim Harbaugh?
Of course.
Okay, then do it.
But hold on. We don't know that Jim Harbaugh is a better coach than Matt Nagy.
Not at all. And Jim Harbaugh is combustible, and you know it. In 3 years, it could be done no matter where he goes.
In 3 years, you may be to the Super Bowl again, and you may actually win one for the first time since Matt Nagy was 7 years old.
Well,
yeah, I mean, Harbaugh is the only hire that they could have made that would have been a nationally relevant deal.
No.
It's the only one.
Yeah, no, national relevance.
Saban, too, but that ain't going to happen.
Right. Saban's not going to happen.
But this is why we bring Mike in, is for the national relevance newsmaking perspective. But I think we can all agree, and let me see if we can, that this is a meaningless argument. It's enjoyable, but it's a meaningless argument.
Hey, do you guys want good radio or meaningful arguments? What do you want?
Whoa. No, good radio.
Hey, you know what I am? How about both? What about we dream for both?
Let me
we can do it. I have faith in you, Mike.
Listen, I don't like being called lazy, so let me go back to that point. I think the Bears engaged in lazy copycat hiring, because they look at Sean McVay, they look at Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson fits Matt Nagy a lot more than Sean McVay does. Doug Peterson was the guy who got into coaching just 7 or 8 years ago. He came from the Andy Reid tree. He went to Philly, and boom, here he is as one of the best coaches in the NFL. McVay, a young guy. I mean, everybody's looking for the young offensive mind who can come in and get the most out of a young franchise quarterback.
That's what they got. But that's not
but
lazy.
Just because McVay and Peterson did it doesn't mean Nagy's going to do it.
Yeah, but Mike, this is the profile.
It doesn't mean he's not.
This is the profile of Mike McCarthy back in the day, or Sean Payton, or Mike Holmgren. It's the offensive assistant that you give the keys to. This is one of the
Holmgren accomplished more than Nagy
When he was with Bill Walsh. Yeah, fine, but I mean, this is the oldest one of the oldest profiles in the coaching book.
Yeah, I know, but it feels like right now it's front and center because everyone wants the next Sean McVay and to a lesser extent the next Doug Peterson, and so it's offensive. And what isn't this like only the second coach with an offensive background the Bears have hired since the merger? Is that right?
Yes. So, Ditka. I mean, this is they finally got one of those guys. A lot of those guys have worked out well. Those offensive guys that are given the keys to run their own team, like Andy Reid, perhaps. A lot of those guys work out well.
Here's the thing: you never know. You never know what a guy's going to do when he goes from being a coordinator to a head coach. Tony Dungy tells the story that when he became the coach in Tampa Bay in '96, they came into his office and they said, "Hey, coach, when we go to Kansas City for a preseason game, what hotel do you want to stay at?" And he's like, "Well, why are you asking me?" And they said, "Well, because you're the coach." And it's like, oh, geez, you know, it's no longer about X's and O's. It's about so many more things. And teams take a leap of faith that this guy is going to be the guy who can come in and do the job. And maybe he will. Maybe he'll be Doug Peterson. Maybe he'll be Brad Childress. I mean, we're not going to know until we find out. And I'm always going to err on the side of a guy who's proven he can do it. And yes, get fired. I mean, those guys are available because they've been fired or because they've chosen to leave or whatever the case may be. But if it's my money, if it's my team, and maybe it's a good thing that it's not, I'm going to spend the money to get a guy who's proven he can do it, because I don't want the next 3 years of my franchise's existence to be on the job training for a guy who may or may not ever hit a ceiling that's acceptable by way of overall head coaching abilities. And I don't think it's lazy to think of it that way.
No, Mike, I'm with you on spending money on coaches because it's against the cap, and if there was a more proven guy out there. But if you say McDaniels won't come because of the Bears' power structure, I'm guessing Jim Harbaugh won't come because of the Bears' power structure.
But if there's enough money, he will.
Right, because then you're going to say fire Ryan Pace, but they're not going to do that, so we've got to operate on some
kneecap him. Don't fire him. Don't kill him. Just injure him. Just take away his power.
They're just not going to do it, though.
But remember, the Jets wanted Bill Cowher. I don't know. What was it? It was after Mike Tannenbaum was still there. I think it was before they hired Rex Ryan. It was back when Cowher had only been out for a few years, and Cowher was interested, but he wanted to bring in his own personnel guy, and Woody Johnson wouldn't do it. He picked Mike Tannenbaum over Bill Cowher, and I think plenty of owners find themselves in that spot. And you got to ask yourself, look, are you going to show loyalty to somebody that has done a decent job, or are you going to go all in for somebody who may come in and do a great job? And, you know, it's an individualized decision made by up to 32 different owners, and everybody's got a different opinion. And to get back to the original point, the jury's out, and let's see. And I'm going to choose to be skeptical. I'm wrong.
You're not alone. And skeptics often win because the world is a weird place.
Well, the math is in the critic's favor. It is more likely to not work than work. We all agree on that. But that is the case with John Gruden as well.
Is Fangio coming back?
Very possibly.
Looks good.
What other jobs are there? I mean, there's not many jobs. KC opened up this morning. But other than that, I mean, Gus Bradley's going back to San Diego. You got Terrell Austin now having the Cincinnati job. There's not many gigs out there.
Yeah, and the Packers job was one that was mentioned for Fangio.
Right.
But they brought Mike Pettin. Mike Pettin was out of sight, out of mind for 2 years. Good for him. He took Jimmy Haslam's money for 2 full years, stayed out of coaching, no offsets necessary, and now he's back. I had heard at one point maybe some talk of Fangio to Baltimore, but that's not there. So I think it's better for Fangio because now it's an offensive coach who's even less likely to be involved in the nuts and bolts of the defense. You hand the keys to Fangio, and you say, you worry about the defense, just like with McVay. McVay, when the When the Rams are on
Coffee
defense,
McVay, Mike.
McVay's sitting on top of a cooler, figuring out what he's going to do on the next drive on offense. He completely abdicates the throne to Wade Phillips. So I think it's actually a better spot for Fangio than it was under Fox.
And they had to do the press conference quickly in order so they could move on to Fangio. Boom!
That's right. He was a free agent until midnight. Congratulations on getting to the right side of the copy the Rams argument, by the way.
There are aspects of it that are attractive.
Well, that's what we've been gunning for all year, so maybe they'll have that.
Just to be fair, now McVay is a lot like Gruden, but McVay's press conference, go back and watch that from last year and compare it to yesterday's. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to get off the press conference dynamic, but I think there is a correlation between how a guy presents himself, what kind of presence he has at a press conference, and what kind of presence he's going to have in the locker room.
Were you surprised at the overnight upheaval in Seattle where Daryl Bevel has lost the offensive coordinator job? That is Russell Wilson's guy from back even before the draft.
Yeah, but you know, here's what I'm gathering, and I'm piecing things together based upon nuggets I've picked up over the last 3 years, really ever since the ill-fated decision to throw and not run at the end of Super Bowl 49. When Doug Baldwin last week came out and said, it's not the play caller's fault, it's not Bevel's fault, we're not executing, my thought was he's got an issue with the quarterback improvising when maybe he doesn't need to. Maybe all that stuff we see Russell Wilson do when he mimics Fran Tarkenton, maybe he's not doing that because he has to. Maybe he's doing it because he wants to. And is there a freelancing problem with Russell Wilson? Is he not running the plays the way they're designed? So now they hire some, and I've heard things since then. We wrote that up this morning. I've heard things since then that make me feel even more strongly about it, that this flows from, this frustration in the failure of the offense may flow from Wilson freelancing. So what does the next offensive coordinator do? Does he come in and coach Wilson hard and say, you will do what we have designed? Or do you find an offensive coordinator who takes what Russell Wilson likes to do and works backward and constructs the offense to fit precisely what they know Wilson's going to do when he gets the ball in his hands? Because what are they going to do? Bench him?
No, they're certainly not going to bench him.
Yeah. And look, that's why they didn't bring in Kaepernick. I mean, this speaks to the resentment of Russell Wilson that has percolated since he became the starting quarterback, when it was all Legion of Boom and Matt Flynn was signed to be the starter and Russell Wilson outplayed him in training camp. And there's been resentment of Russell Wilson ever since then. And I still think there's guys there, and maybe they need to get rid of the guys there who resent Russell because he's moving toward Peyton Manning, Tom Brady territory where he's the nucleus of the team, and everyone else is there around him, and we're going to spend the next decade putting the pieces around him and letting Russell be Russell and trying to compliment him, not criticize him, not resent him, not tell him you shouldn't be doing what you are doing. Say, this is what he does, this is who he is, and make the most out of it.
Is there a fit for Josh McDaniels that's left? Looks like maybe Matt Patricia with the Giants. So where does McDaniels go?
Well, and the Giants never a fit for McDaniels because of Dave Gettleman. McDaniels wants the power. McDaniels wants to run the show. Now, there's been some, and this cuts against the concept of McDaniels wanting the power. There's been some heat that maybe the Colts are a possibility, the lure of working with Andrew Luck. And I'll tell you what, if you want to get on Bill Belichick's non-Christmas card list, I think going to the Colts is one stone's throw away from going to the Jets. But the Titans are the ones to watch. There was talk of Malarkey out and McDaniels in before the win over the Chiefs. And then after the win over the Chiefs, the statement that came from the team on the surface, and there are people in the business who ran with it as an indication that Malarkey definitely will be back next year. When you look at the words that were chosen, in order to move any distractions moving forward, Mike Malarkey is our coach moving forward. Well, what the hell does moving forward mean? Does it mean just for this week? Does it mean for all of 2018? And this was a written statement where you can take as much time as you want to get the language and the tone and the message just right. And the message is confusing. And I think McDaniels is still in play in Tennessee. And if they get blown out by the Patriots, coincidentally, on Saturday night, it could be Malarkey out. And then you take your time with the search. And McDaniels is available after the Super Bowl. And the next thing you know, McDaniels could be the next coach of the Titans. Do not rule that one out. And it would be the Titans beating the Patriots that would keep McDaniels from ever having that opportunity to go to Tennessee.
And you're not lazy, for the record, Mike. I thought the cynicism was, but I know you're not. Right. You're a hustler.
All right.
Get him, Florio.
Nice
get
recovery. Him. Nice recovery 10 minutes later.
Get him.
Thanks for bringing it up again.
Get him.
No, you've always been a hustler. You're still hustling.
Speaks. You're backpedaling.
No, I'm not. That moment, though,
hey, it was good. It's good radio, right? We want good radio.
See you, Mike.
Right?
Bye. Yes, of course.
Thank you, Mike.
That's Mike Florio, brought to you by KFC. KFC's signature pot pie is filled with delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken and veggies and topped with golden flaky crust, all for just $3.99. KFC, it's finger-licking.
Hey, man, you ever see the schedule that he posts on ProFootballTalk.com of all the radio he does during the week?
Of course.
You know, 50 markets and 19 slots, and he's been doing that forever until he became a made guy at NBC.
Still does. Made guy.
Yeah.
Mike Florio. The reason I went to my cell phone during the interview, I took a screenshot of my ESPN app last night at 9 p.m.
Okay.
These were the six headlines under news.
How many of them were Gruden-related?
All right.
Yeah.
Raiders roll out red carpet for Gruden intro.
Okay.
Mariota happy for protege Tagovailoa, whatever, success at Alabama.
Tagovailoa.
GM, alleged incognito slurs, a misunderstanding.
Okay.
Ball brothers combined for 29 in overseas pro debut.
God.
Source, Packers to hire Pettine as new defensive coordinator.
Uh-huh.
LeBron slams controversial H&M image.
There's no Bears Nagy story there at 9 p.m. last night.
And we can all agree that in terms of actual news, the Bears hiring a head coach for the charter franchise of the NFL is bigger than some of those.
Okay.
The point is there's no star power attached to it, so they could have done it today, yesterday, tomorrow, 3 days from now.
Uh-huh.
They weren't going to get the national narrative off of hiring Matt Nagy, so doing it an hour before John Gruden's irrelevant. We are all, this is all big, a big countdown, by the way, Speaks.
There's a website that has been dedicated.
Until Larry Wisdom comes on 18 minutes from now. The last boss that Matt Nagy had before Andy Reid.
Man, I love it.
In real estate.
There's a couple specifics to discuss from that Florio thing. I want to talk about Daryl Bevel with you for a moment because he's on the Brad Childress tree. So does that mean he could be a possible offensive coordinator here? And Fangio and the possible jobs, like, find me another job for Fangio. I don't know that there is one that
all
makes
right.
sense.
We'll go over to Spiegel and Parkins on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
What do you always say, Speaks? Ask a question, get an answer.
And that was it.
Those are my favorite moments from yesterday, with some interviews that he did afterwards, the press conference, when he would just answer it directly. If it was very simple, he did not overspeak it and talk around it.
Get it.
You have confidence that you'll be able to put together a good coaching staff? Yes, I do. Okay.
Who's that offensive coordinator going to be? And should he consider Daryl Bevel, who's now done in Seattle? Bevel was the offensive coordinator under head coach Brad Childress, who we know worked closely with Matt Nagy the past couple of years in Kansas City. Whoever that offensive coordinator is, isn't going to be calling plays, but it would be nice if he had the experience of calling plays, right?
Nice to get the experience of calling plays, but mostly what we talked to Zach Berman about in Philadelphia for Carson Wentz, the quarterback incubator.
Yes.
I want it to be a former quarterback
Me
again.
Too. And Bevel's a former quarterback.
Right.
He's not a – he had a cup of coffee in the NFL?
I don't know.
I think.
But I don't care about the level. It's the intellect.
Right. The thought process.
Yeah, the intellect of the quarterback position.
Right.
Is what I – so if he was a quarterback coach before he was a coordinator, play calling, all that, that would all be great.
And if you've hated what the Seattle offense has done schematically over the past few years – I understand, because when Russell Wilson turns into Fran Tarkenton is when they turn into an effective offense for the most part. But remember, this is about executing Matt Nagy's vision, and it's about another quarterback mind for the incubator. So yeah, I'm interested. I want to know who else is out there and who else is in his mind.
Eric Bieniemy is the running back coach in Kansas City who's loved throughout the league, and he just got promoted to offensive coordinator in Kansas City. So he's not going to come. Bob Sutton retired in Kansas City as a defensive coordinator. You don't really want him.
Mm-hmm.
It's an offensive coordinator gone, a defensive coordinator gone, and a changeover at quarterback. I wonder if Dave Tobe would be willing to jump ship. Like, I wonder if Dave Tobe is like, I can't even get an interview. After all I've done, got Tyreek Hill and Devin Hester up for retirement and the Hall of Fame conversation around him, and all I've done, now there's all this turnover here and I still can't get a head coaching interview. Maybe I've capped out in Kansas City and I'd be interested in coming back. I don't know what Nagy and Tobe's relationship is or anything like that, but I wonder if and when he becomes resigned to being a special team coach for life.
Whether he'd rather do it here or in Kansas City.
Exactly right. And I just when I heard Nagy yesterday say with such confidence that he had no question about his ability to put together a good staff, the first thing I thought of was like, man, maybe Nagy and Tobe are really good friends. And we're going to get some announcement that Fangio is staying as the defensive coordinator.
and
Tobe is coming back.
People would
celebrate that more than they celebrated the hire of Nagy.
They would 100% be those two surly guys at the bar thinking nobody knows anything. Boy, you couldn't get a head coaching interview. I couldn't get a head coaching job.
Right. They would absolutely. That is right. Fangio's like, all right, well, I'll come back. They're going to pay me X number of million dollars a year. I probably make as much as Nagy because they had to pay me to stay and then go out and get Tobe. I have no inside information that's what's happening.
But it's understandable conjecture because who knows how happy Tobe is. And there's
a lot of turnover happening in Kansas City right now.
I'd be surprised if he accepted with resignation that he's never going to get a gig. I'd be surprised if he was ready to do that at this point. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, who knows? But it's just, he wasn't on anyone's interview list. Mm-hmm. Again, 7 openings.
I thought he was. I thought he was still possibly in Indianapolis. I thought Ballard was going to talk to him.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that he had an interview scheduled. I saw the rumor.
I saw the rumor.
Right. No, but the rumor has been going on all season.
Sure.
I hadn't seen an interview scheduled with him.
We'll check it out and chase it down. In looking around, we mentioned Gus Bradley staying in San Diego, Mike Pettine to Green Bay, Baltimore promoted their linebacker coach to defensive coordinator, Terrell Austin took the Bengals job, Steve Spagnuolo has it with the Giants. If Matt Patricia or somebody else takes that, is Spagnuolo a high enough profile to stay there and keep the Giants job? I would think. Kansas City is open. Detroit is open, where Terrell Austin was before he went to the Bengals, so depending on who that head coach is. But could you see Fangio wanting to go to Detroit and be that guy in Detroit as opposed to here? Not super exciting. Arizona, depending on who gets hired there, they've got James Betcher, who's the one who was working there under Bruce Arians. I'd consider that open right now, depending on who they hire as a head coach.
The Arizona defensive coordinator job would be pretty appealing to Fangio, I agree.
I would think so, too.
If he likes warm weather and a ton of skill position talent.
Right.
Right? I mean, Peterson and, Chandler Jones and Honey Badger and all those guys. Like that is a talented team.
Yeah, he could do a lot of things out there and coach in the warmth and coach all those games against the other warmth.
Right, if that matters to him.
Very vaguely close. I saw Gridiron Assassin texted in and suggested Miami. Maybe that he could be the guy in Miami. Miami has a guy who just went through it last year, did it for 1 year, a guy named Matt Burke, the defensive coordinator, after Vance Joseph left. So, look, warm weather opportunities are maybe Miami, depending on what Adam Gase wants. And he obviously worked with Fangio here, and maybe Arizona. But if they, you know, I'd love to see Fangio, but there are other options if it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think that it sounds like it's going well for having him come back. And my guess is they're going to just throw money at the problem and feel like we're not spending a ton of money on Nagy, so let's spend more money on our defensive coordinator than most. We'll make him the top defensive mind in the building, give him the associate head coach title if he wants it, and get the job done. Right. As of now, I would bet on Fangio coming back as opposed to leaving. But the pregame show for Larry Wisdom is over.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
We made it. Yeah. We made it, everybody.
The last man who was Nagy's boss, not named Andy Reid. He worked real estate for him. He hired him from the Arena League with no experience in real estate, and he got name dropped at his press conference yesterday.
He did. He let Matt Nagy go and be an intern, come back. Go and be a quality control coach, come back. Go and be, you know, he let him, that's that guy, one of the most important guys in the life of Matt Nagy, will scout young Matt Nagy for us.
We did it! Larry Wisdom, next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's Matt Nagy, Bears head coach, at his introductory press conference yesterday.
That is just not true. Coach Nagy, that nobody knows who Larry Wisdom is.
No.
We know.
Oh, we know.
We know, and we wanted to talk to him because it's an interesting role that Larry Wisdom played in the life of this coach, because Matt Nagy's a fascinating story. We've been looking for angles and ways to discuss him, and Larry came to our minds.
And he's like our great white buffalo. We got Matt Nagy's cell phone number before we were able to track down Larry Wisdom's.
It's true.
So it's a tremendous trophy guest booking moment for our executive producer, Jay Zawoski. So Larry, thank you, because our producer was not able to sleep until he was able to find your contact. So thank you very much for the time.
Hey guys, Good morning. Yeah, the drone over my secret undisclosed location captured my attention, no doubt. So.
Well, whatever you got to do, our Jay Zawoski's.
Yeah, man. Exactly.
Larry, I know, Larry, you are actually a Chicago guy, but at the time you were out there in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and a guy named Steve Saunders, who now works for the Baltimore Ravens, says to you, you should check out this kid, this former arena quarterback, Arena League quarterback, Matt Nagy, because this is somebody you could hire and maybe mold into an executive at your company. So he came highly recommended. And what did you think of Matt Nagy when you met him?
Well, I was having none of it. Steve was at that time founder of Powertrain Sports. It's 4:35 in the morning working out. We're in the middle of the workout. He's kicking my butt. I mean, really kicking my butt. And he introduces this idea of interviewing the man. I'm going, Steve, you know, everybody wants to interview, look, jobs, tough times out there. But anyway, I came along to saying yes, because the personal trainer can do you a hell of a lot more damage pretty quickly. So,
you took his advice. You were scared of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. No question. And so it's interesting, the story, simply because, and I didn't really have any intention of reason to hire Matt at the time or meet with him. And I did as a favor to Steve. So when I met Matt, I had a dinner interview with him, because Steve insisted I talk with him personally. Demanding guys. You know, I found exactly what you're hearing about him and what you saw in the press conference, a straightforward, at that time, obviously younger version, sincere, earnest, focused, passionate individual. And all of that was good, but you need a lot more to be successful and to win consistently. And so I put him through a pretty rigorous interview process, and that first meeting, then another meeting, then one in the home with he and his wife.
Wait. So you had three interviews with Matt Nagy, because Ryan Pace only had one in a dinner.
Yeah, exactly. But those guys, they're much better. I'm sure they're much sharper than I am.
Is there any truth to the rumor that you also interviewed Josh McDaniels and John DeFilippo for that job?
No, but I'll tell you what's relevant about that. It's a leader, absolute critical. Requirement of leadership is the acquisition, the development, and retention of talent, particularly if you want to sustain it, particularly if you want to get to the top. And so that was a key role for me, and that's what led me to ultimately hire Matt, because of my instinct of where he could go, not where he necessarily was at that time. So I hired him as a literally absolutely green, no experience whatsoever in business or in sales, to come in and work as a salesperson of our new homes in our business.
So Larry Wisdom is our guest. You were Matt Nagy's last boss before Andy Reid. You hire him to do real estate with no experience. You allow him to go and do his coaching internships and all of that. Was Matt Nagy any good at flipping houses and doing real estate?
Nah, he's average at best. No, I'm kidding. He became good at it. What he was first was he was a great student. The guy would, he everywhere he went, he would carry a notebook and write notes. After a while, I thought it was like a psychiatrist. I was afraid of what was being reported. And he became a student of the game, of the business game, and he became very good at it. And it took a while, because there was a lot to it in the home building business. So he became a student of it, and then he became a student of people. And he has an insatiable desire and curiosity. He pursues that. I came to learn that my instincts were right. He was very intense, very passionate, and it's a controlled fire burning within, what I call, you see it in glimpses, but it's not like, you know, wave the flag. But he does have a very positive nature, and so he became good at it. He became so good at it that the month before I got the late night call that changed everything, he sold six homes, I think, in one month. You have to remember this was 2008 or 2009, the worst year in 60 years or more.
Wow.
In housing.
And the call was, of course, that he was going to get out of the real estate game and go be a coach full time.
Before we get to that call, because this is really interesting. So we're talking to Larry Wisdom, who was the boss for Matt Nagy, who Matt didn't know anything. He worked his ass off. He was passionate. He was a guarded, or he was a controlled, aggressive guy, which is exactly what he said about himself as an offensive coordinator yesterday and a possible head coach yesterday. He then tells you about this passion and he goes and works for the Eagles a little bit. And comes back. And then, to my understanding, he does it again and comes back. Like, you let him go and do it and come back. You had to trust him. Why did you trust him? What was the relationship that he had built with you where you let him go and pursue this football dream, knowing that it might be fruitless?
Well, I don't give trust easily, and he earned that trust by doing what you guys were talking about earlier. I remember the night that I hired him, he said, Larry, you won't regret this. I'm going to do it more. And I said, Matt, I'm grateful for that, but all I want you to do is I just want you to meet and exceed your agreements every day. And so that's what we're looking at. And when he was going for these internships, which was a big decision at the time to make, I never envisioned what happened. I looked at it as 2 weeks away, but it's going to build him up being in that internship with the deal. And that'll be good for him. That'll be good for the people around him. Be good for our company. Be good as a leader to get that experience. I never imagined that a year later I'd receive a call late at night. And so that's why I did it, because I thought it was a good development for him as a person, as an internship, in the same way you would send somebody that you really had plans for to conferences and et cetera. And that he'd be able to bring that back. In other words, he wasn't just off on a lark.
Right.
But it never was in the context of he was going to follow this, you know, at that point he was going to follow the dreams.
Gotcha.
That was his commitment to me. His commitment when I hired him was his football days were over pursuing a career as a quarterback. And that was important because he made a commitment to me, and we invested a huge amount of dollars in his development over the next year.
Well, Larry, I got news for you. I mean, you could have said no, right? Like you could have not allowed him to go off and do those internships, and he had come to you and said his football career was over. So if Matt Nagy wins a Super Bowl with the Bears, I think you're getting a ring. Like I think you are getting a Super Bowl ring, because if not for you, you could have blocked this entire thing. Like, you are responsible for Matt Nagy being the head coach of the Chicago Bears. So congratulations.
Yeah, well, look at what this means about leadership. It's really others. Look at what Matt and others around him. Look at the influence he'll have in other people's lives and what he'll have in that team's lives, what the opportunity is there to do. And that's really what leadership is. That's really what leadership's about. But it wasn't an easy decision. You get a call at 10:30 a.m. a year later, this whole thing is out. I think he's calling me at 10:30 p.m. because he's in early, he's working late. I like that for his folks. He's a family man, but he's working late. I think he's calling me to help out some customer's issue with you know, to help him buy one of our homes.
And instead, he tells you, I got offered a full-time job with the Eagles?
Yes, he didn't do what was alluded to earlier. He didn't call and say, I've decided to take it. That's the point. He calls, this is a year later. A year later, these internships, it's behind. So it's completely unexpected for both of us, a call. And I took the call because at that point, because obviously it was him as one of my people, I always take a call. And because I thought it was a customer situation that I could help out. And so I took the call, and he says, Larry, he says, Stacy and I have been for the last several hours out in our deck just talking through a situation that's arose. And I'm thinking, oh my God, there's a medical issue. That's what's up? He said, tell me about it, man. And he explains to me the call that came from Andy Reid or Andy Reid's representatives, and he explains that he's wrestling with the issue. What he was wrestling with, to your earlier point, was he had made a commitment and he had invested $100 in it, and he had another opportunity that came along in life. And this will tell you all you need to know about this guy. He was prepared to keep his commitment, and we had a basis of trust that we built that he could discuss it with me. And so he's explaining it to me, and making a long story short, he's discussing the, what came and how it happened and how it's come out of the blue and how he's got the opportunity. And the role was, remember, the role was for the assistant to the assistant.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome that he had built the relationship, you guys had built the relationship and the trust that he could talk about it with you openly. And you know what? And you know this, Larry. Leaders are leaders, and relationships are relationships. It's no irony lost that Steve Saunders ends up working for the Ravens, not just being your personal trainer. You're a successful guy in what you do, and here's Matt Nagy moving forward. We appreciate you sharing the stories and the insight, because you know, those kind of relationships are what makes a guy who he is at age 39.
And if you have a real estate agent that you think would be good for the Chicago Bulls, please pass him along. Okay? Thank you for your time.
Anybody else on staff? Yeah, we'll take him, Larry.
Hey, guys, I just want to know, do I get invited to the letdown party?
No, there's not going to be a letdown.
Thank goodness.
So you get a float on the Super Bowl parade. Thank you, Larry.
All right.
We're glad we found you. Larry Wisdom. We did it.
Hey, not only did we do it, I found it genuinely interesting.
We did it.
Ladies and gentlemen, not only...
Congratulations, Jay.
Not only is that the completion of the Larry Wisdom hunt, it is the end of desperate angle hunting for information on Matt Nagy. We have officially gotten everything we could get on the new Bears head coach.
Was it good for you?
Oh, man.
It was good for me, too. All right. We got a baseball trade that's a big deal. We'll get to that. Can't do it coming up. It's Spiegel & Parkins on the Score.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!